So I was thinking, what is the, you know, it's the last Sunday before we face New Year, and usually last Sunday, first Sunday, we talk about the vision, and dreams, and you know, what you want God to do in the New Year, New Year's resolution, probably last about 6 days, and then after that fades. Setting goals and plans and all these wonderful big thing. And I was thinking, hang on, I want to do something different. I want us to make sure that we are starting out New Year with the right start. You know, if you get the right button, the first one, the rest of the clothes, you get the right button. The first one is wrong. You go all the way down and go, oh, you have to unbutton everything and go back. And I want to also make sure if you're carrying any burdens that you perhaps not supposed to carry, let's start New Year fresh, without baggages, our hearts free. I want to talk about forgiveness, something that we need to come back over and over again because we are living in a world that contaminates our hearts. There is no human being that will go through life without receiving and giving hurts in one way or other, some meant, some not meant. And how we respond to those situations. You know, it's not what's being done to me that shapes who I am. It really isn't. It's the response that I formulate at the time the pressure is given to me that shapes your character. How I respond, how I jump, how I react, that shapes our character, not the pressure. Pressure forces you into make decision. So if we want to be Christ-like, we do need to make certain response at the times when you feel pressure. And those are the defining moments when we are faced with a choice to forgive or not to forgive. And I'm sure there is not one soul here who's gone through 2017 without some amount of hurts, perhaps disappointments. And I want us to process these things so that when we face 2018, all that God wants to bring comes abundantly over you as a blessing. Amen? Deal with any baggages. Maybe not all of it today, but perhaps we can bring it before the Lord and identify and list them, the things that are in our hearts that are spoiling the gifts and the blessings of God that he wants to bring into our lives so abundantly. Amen. So that's what I want to share today. And I want to, let's read together or pray together. Start with the Lord's Prayer. How about that? You know, when I was growing up in Korea as a young boy, Lord's Prayer was something that I was praying every time before the close of the service. And, you know, we don't do it here. I guess I don't want to do it religiously. But the Lord's Prayer, 66 words, has real completeness about our prayer. It covers every aspect, spiritually, materially, physically, mentally, emotionally, covers everything. So let's just pray once. I want to just pick one point. I think I already gave you the too much with the red thing. So anyway, I shouldn't have. Let's pray together, all right? Are you ready? One, two, three. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, after Jesus taught that prayer, just in case, he turns around and then highlights something. Let's read together. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. All right. I was going to ask, is there anything in that Lord's Prayer that stands out to you? And then I thought I already highlighted and said all the answers already. So it's kind of, you know, stupid question. I believe having covered all the spiritual life, God is saying, you just need to come back and come back and come back and make sure that you don't close your heaven. You don't shut heaven. You must keep an open heaven. And the challenge of keeping the open heaven is just here. And it's about forgiveness. Do you believe when the Lord taught the Lord's Prayer, he wanted us to repeatedly pray that prayer? Daily, perhaps, but certainly repeatedly, again and again. Means that he wants us to pray this prayer of forgiveness, which will come back to us in different shape and form in challenges. It is a prayer that we must continually, until we meet Jesus face to face, need to pray and deal with continually. Just because we were okay last year, it doesn't mean I'm okay today, this year. It's an ongoing work that needs to be done. Notice verse 12 and 13. They are linked together. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Did you know that we were praying, Lord, forgive me. Jesus taught, forgive you. Confess your sin. And in the same breath, just make sure that if you need to forgive anybody. Right? That's a really searching question. And I heard somebody speaking, that prayer, that verse 12, made more liars out of Christian than any other prayer. Because we pray, forgive us as we forgive, and we often don't. And that's where the heavens remain open or heavens shut. Whether you feel the love of God's blessing or you shut that flow off. And then verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Did you know that the deliverance and the forgiveness have the same foundation, the same root? In fact, when you talk about deliverance from evil, deliverance from inner healing, all deliverance has its foundation in forgiveness. All, no exception. Forgiveness from receiving forgiveness from God and giving forgiveness to one another. Relational. Cross, Christianity is all about relationship. Vertical and horizontal. We receive total unconditional forgiveness from the Father. And the moment we say, yes, I receive your forgiveness, we let go of our right to not forgive. We Christians have no right to hold on to grudges. That's when the voice of God cuts off. So I want to read just a parable, kind of quite familiar, so quickly go through this, and I want to talk about a little bit into, you know, what forgiveness look like. And at the end, I want you to perhaps, oh, actually, I need to make an announcement. Tonight, there is a prayer, right? Tonight, Well, there's a prayer in Epping at 11. So, yeah, just letting, because some people know, some people don't, and I think, you know, people come and they're saying they want to come and all that. So, yes, we will not lock the door. If you want to go to New Year's Eve fireworks, you can go. No, you can go with our blessing. You want to spend the time with the Lord? It's also, prayer house is there. If you want to spend time with the Lord in your room, that's fine. Perfectly fine. Now, I've got sidetracked again. Lord, help my mind. All right. Anyway, I'll just read. All right. Oh, yeah. That's right. I remembered. A paper like this. You have a paper. Draw the line in the center. And on this side, do I have people that I need to forgive? Or things I need to give forgiveness? On this side, have I forgiven myself? Are there things that I'm holding grudges against myself? And then bring it before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to fall on our hearts, okay? and then have the fire of God fall and consume every toxic things that are in our hearts so that we can be free as we move into next year. All right, I'm going to just quickly read it through. Okay, Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times," very generously, seven consecutive times, "I still forgive him," because he might be, you know, maybe one of those at the time, you know, disciples were quarreling about, you know, who is better, and maybe it was reaching to, maybe Peter is counting four or five, and now maybe six times, and now he's ready to pounce. Seven times, maybe just give him one more, and then I have every right to pounce, right? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to?" Oh, my goodness, that blew his mind away. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven," in another place when, you know, that question was asked, saying, after Peter hearing that, "Lord, help me, give us faith to believe that we can do this." All right, anyway, "therefore, kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him and said, 'Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved to compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Wow. I don't think there is any religion on earth that teaches this. That has a foundation, our relationship, a foundation of faith, a forgiveness, and the love. Where there is love, there is forgiveness. Where there is forgiveness, there is love. Where there is no forgiveness, beware, there is no love. Or whatever love we have will dry up from inside. It's interesting, torturous. We all know what it feels like being tortured inside, because we are unable to let go of bitterness. And at times, we have every right to feel bitter and feels as if we have no power to release the bitterness. And there's a torture. It's like a prison. And there's only one way we can get out of the prison inside. There's no two ways. Not one and a half ways, no maybe another way, only one way. Every time, every single time, it's forgiveness. That's how we get released from the prison that we build around ourselves. You know, when we angry and want revenge, somebody said, it's like you're drinking a poison and, you know, thinking the other person will die. That's exactly what it's like. You drink the poison, I hate you so much. This is how I feel. You die, I'm going. So it really is self-interest, because we are made in God's image. We are made to love. We are made to forgive things that are not. We are made to let go. We are made to give grace. This is how we are made in the image of God. And when we don't do that, it breaks us from inside. When we are not able to do that, it breaks us from inside. So Christianity is not some, you know, weak child thing, just there. We'll just, you know, give you ice cream. No, it's not for faint-hearted. It's for the brave hearts. Amen. And for the brave, you have full reward of blessing. And for those who skirt around, we'll never taste what it means to have the kingdom blessing working in our heart and lives. Amen. Now, let me say, forgiveness is not, this is very important because it can be very, very confusing at times. Okay, I forgive you. It doesn't mean you are justifying the evil. When evil has been done to you, evil is around the world. It's not saying you're dressing it up and saying, no, it's okay. Stealing is okay. Slander is okay. You're not saying that it's okay. No, it's not. It is evil is evil. So that's not. Let's not confuse that. Number two, forgiveness is not denying what happened. Oh, it didn't happen. When pain is sometimes too hard, God made us so wonderfully that when our mind and our heart cannot handle it, it seems like our mind shuts down. Sometimes physically just shuts off the physical memory. But other times, our heart denies, what you call repression. It's too much, can't handle it, so what you do is you repress it into the recess of your memory and refuse to face what happened for a fact. You refuse to look at it, you refuse to face it because it's too painful. It's easier not to face it and run from reality. So what you do is like when you go to swimming pool, you know those big beach volleyball and things like that. You can't handle beach volleyball, so you press it into the swimming pool and you sit on it. What happened? How long can you handle it? You press it harder, and it's trying to escape. You press it. After a while, what happens? Who wins? Buoyancy wins. Your muscle don't win. Your mental strength don't win. And what happens? When it comes out, it shoots out. Maybe in another direction. Over here, over there, go. Truth has to be faced one way or another with the strength of God. Amen? Number three, what it's not? It's not pretending that we are not hurt because we are too proud to admit, what? It doesn't matter. I forgave already. And then, no, it didn't hurt. I don't care. It doesn't hurt. No, I don't care. And then there is all these tears and there is a sweat from behind your neck and you're shaking and, because we too proud, especially Asian male, if I can say, because I'm one of them, proud to show your emotion and the fact that you are hurt or somebody has power to hurt you. Because when you love, you give the other person key to hurt you also to the degree that you open your heart. And you refuse to admit that you're hurt. Now, that is not forgiveness. Because the signs of bitterness will be everywhere. And lastly, this is also very important. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you have a full reconciliation back to the relationship of trust. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you trust that person. When you forgive a pedophile, it doesn't mean you're trusting the person with your daughter. No way. Far be it. When somebody ripped you off, you're not trusting that person with a bank account. Or you don't have to plan a Bali holiday to prove that you've forgiven that person. Don't put you under that kind of pressure. Trust is earned. It has to. You can forgive, but still not have the most trusting relationship with that person. You can still protect yourself. But forgiveness is another thing that has to happen inside. Amen? Let's talk about, now, what happens when I say, God, this person I refuse I refuse. What happens? To forgive. What did Jesus say in the parable? You get imprisoned. Let's just read. I mean, there are many. What does that mean? Maybe it's a good debate, theological debate. I'm not going to give you an answer. I have my own answer. But Jesus said, if you don't forgive from your heart, not lip service, from your heart, you will be in prison. And he said, if you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. What? What does that mean? I leave it to you. I thought, you know, I'm forgiven. So, okay, that's a lot of tension there. So I just leave it in that tension. I like that. Just leave it. Leave you with a lot of pressure. Okay, and then I'm not going to resolve it for you. Maybe it's a good discussion for a group, right? Just, I'm not going to resolve it. You resolve it. I've resolved it, but, you know, it doesn't mean I'm perfect, but you know what? I'm going to just leave it at that so you can have some meat to work on. He who does not, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So that's what happens. Now, let's talk about the process of forgiveness. Because forgiveness, when I say, have I forgiven or haven't I forgiven? Have I forgiven? Haven't I forgiven? I forgave yesterday, but maybe, you know, I haven't forgiven. It's very confusing. And I think, to me, the best way of understanding forgiveness is it's not on and off switch. It's more than on and off switch. Yes, you have forgiven. No, you haven't. There's a process of forgiveness. And there's a stages of forgiveness. And there is a God kind of forgiveness that we can come to. But it doesn't mean that if you are on the process of forgiveness, that you are not forgiving. Or you haven't forgiven. Is that all right? I'm going to break it down to five stages. You can break it down even more, but, you know, just a few big five. So it'll help us where I am at. And we can aim at certain level without feeling guilty that I'm not there like God. Because Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He said it in the context of forgiveness. Did you know? If you're able to forgive like the Father, that's where the key to perfection, Christian maturity, lies. It really is. So simple. So simple. But it's so profoundly true. All right. Number one, it starts in the where? In the feeling or in the will? In the will. Now, that is an absolute minimum. It's a start of forgiveness. This is what Jesus said. If you refuse to forgive, God calls it wickedness. Christians have no right to hold on and refuse to give forgiveness. No right whatsoever. The moment I say, I refuse to forgive, God, I know your word says this, but this thing, I will not. And God says, you are wicked. I'm sorry, I'm not saying, this is what Jesus said, okay? All right, we all maybe are wicked at some points, but we turn back and say, no, you know what, help me. Help my unbelief. Give me faith, Lord. I need every help I can get, but I want to be in that journey. I need power in my heart. Help me. Now, that is different than saying, God, that person is not a human. That person is in the, you know, sort of in the animal kingdom. You know, so I'm not going to deal with that person or even, that is not acceptable to God for someone who received total unconditional forgiveness. Not acceptable. So once we are there, we can start a journey. See, for Christians, number one, minimum, every single time. Now, we don't have to feel it. I may be boiling over, angry, but Lord, Jesus, you said you forgave me, and I'm, okay, your word wins. I submit, help me. I'm struggling, help me. That's fine. We all start from there. That's something that pleases God very, very deeply. Amen? All right. Okay, so, number two, after that, where do we go? refuse to take revenge in any shape or form. Either overtly, meow, why did you do that? Or covertly, Nathan, do you know what your mom said to me? Let's go out for lunch, and you go, and you just drop all the, you know, just bleed a little bit, and that's covertly. And I've seen not many people are direct when they're hurting. When it's easier to be overt, but process of forgiveness, number two, I believe, is refusal to take revenge. You do not take revenge. You don't get back, get even with something that you say, something that you do out of spite. Because why? Because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is God's. You don't take it into your own hand. You know, when we said, Lord, thank you for all the sins that I've committed in my lifetime, completely, sins that I've committed, as well as sins that I'm not aware of that I've committed, all of them, you forgave me. I thank you. I receive it. The moment you receive it, you've signed away your right to take vengeance. Amen? Christians have no right to take vengeance. It belongs to God. Vengeance belongs to God. So it takes faith. It takes real strength to live this way. Isn't that true? Because it's very easy. You know, somebody gives me one. All right. Okay, you want to play a game? I can play a game better than you, right? When I was growing up, I was very sporty. I mean, I was one of the fastest and the strongest in my, you know, when I was younger. So somehow I stopped growing very early on. Nobody dared to mess with me. And, you know, I make sure if somebody wants to mess with me, they have enough lesson to the point that it will not work. They will all know. Nobody dare mess with me. And then that strength has to go. It has to go. God has to. See, we go through situations and times that you cannot explain. It feels like you need vindication. How many know what I'm talking about? Vindication. I need God to vindicate me, right and wrong. It's a desire to vindication is it's an appetite, one of the strongest appetite of human nature. We want vindication. We want our name clear, you know, right and wrong, right and wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. I want the whole world to know that I'm right and you're wrong. And I forgive you. If everybody knows I'm right, on that condition, I will forgive you. And when you acknowledge that you're wrong, okay, that's a start of our conversation, because then we can talk. But the forgiveness is not dependent on any of this. It's a self-contained, enclosed system within our heart that we have to process each and every time. Amen? So, you allow God to vindicate you. You don't employ covert attack to vindicate you, to justify you, what happened, how, and all these things. Because God will clear it. You know what? God takes much, much longer to vindicate you. He really does. But he does in the end. Whatever vindication you really need, God will do it for you so that your life, your call, your life will not be affected by things or the people or the evil intents of those around you. People may intend on evil, but God will turn it into good. If we can wait and allow God to vindicate us in his time, in his way. Amen? And walk away from plans. My plan A, if I do this and it doesn't work, plan B, and do this, and plan C, I hit this way, and then it'll bounce back three times, and then hit back. Oh, yeah, it'll work. No, 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 you let go. Don't plan. Just get rid of all the plan. Let God. Right? All right. Number three is it takes real kind of, discipline, is that you actually refuse to engage in mental fantasy of torturing that person. And go, I'm so sorry, please, please, please. Go. You actually stop, you know. Sometimes we have this little corner, right? You're alone, you have coffee, and you know, okay, you got time, and engage, your thinking goes into all that, and you know, all of a choir, suddenly out of your heart comes a little chest, beautifully locked up, and you open it, and there is this person, and you take that person out, you take a pin, and go, I'm really enjoying this. They're saying, no. In your mind, you refuse to do this. You throw it all away. You rip up, I owe you. I owe you. You don't fantasize the person just crying and crawling in the dirt with blood all over. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And then truck comes and runs over, cuts his legs, but you're still, I'm sorry, I need your forgiveness. Like, you know, Terminator, and then you're standing there. Yeah, I grant thee my royal forgiveness. I am vindicated. Thank you, Father. You love me so much. You don't do that. Selwyn Hughes, how many know Selwyn Hughes? He's been doing, you know, he's really pioneered this inner healing area with a devotion. And he said over the years, he's counseled many Christians. And he come to a very simple conclusion. The biggest root of all mental problem is in lack of forgiveness. Can't forgive somebody, or can't forgive ourselves, can't forgive God. And he came to understand that people, when they come and say, Pastor, I cannot forgive. I want to forgive. I cannot forgive. They're all liars. Every single one of them. We do not have problem in forgiving. What we have problem with is we have problem remembering how much we've been forgiven by God. That's the problem. We have no idea how much we've been forgiven. That's why we can't forgive. And then it's because we don't often forgive ourselves. We apply that standard on others. If you never forgive yourself, forgiving someone else is almost impossibility. That's why people who are forgiven, receive God's forgiveness, are the happy people. They're the blessed people. Do you know you've been forgiven? And then you can forgive. Everybody can forgive. It's not easy, but it's possible with the power of God. Amen? That's why Christianity starts on the foundation of ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, God forgiving while being crucified. Because you know what? Who is getting crucified? One who is being forgiven or who is giving forgiveness? One who is doing the forgiving, he's the one getting crucified. When you forgive, when you have every right to hold, demand justice, you let go and you forgive, you're crucifying your flesh. You really are. Your right for vindication, your right, my right. You let go of your right for justice. You let it go. That's where Christianity starts. Hallelujah. And one doing the forgiving. When you crucify, when we crucify our, because all of our problem, let's face it, all, you know, covert and overt or aware or unaware, all of our problem comes from our flesh. True? And these occasions where we are faced with the question of forgiveness is the occasion. Now, you don't have to make a big, I mean, we can too, a big wooden cross and display to the whole world. And you can too. Hey, please do it if God calls you. You know, I am Christian. And look at me, look at me. Every situation where you must forgive and you're faced with crucifying yourself or crucifying the other person is your cross. True? That's the cross. That's the cross. We pick up cross daily and follow Jesus. Amen? All right. Next one is that, okay, let's go to step number four. Is that you can take one step further and actively and, I can't say it, bless, verbally, bless, not curse, bless the person. Lord, bless this person with a hard lesson that he will learn through black and blue. God, bless that man with a brick from heaven that he will get a reset in his brain. God, let somebody else crash into the car, and then he will, you know, maybe lose a limb, and then he will really repent. Oh, God, just act, you know, your devastation, oh, God, of righteousness. Let your vengeance come upon them, oh, Lord, righteous God. Unleash your fury, righteous Father. Bless. Bless. Bless means? No. It's one thing to, okay, I forgive, I bless, I walk away. And you actually, in your own time, actually say that person's name, Lord, Abba Father, I asked that you will bless Paul Kim. You can see the pressure going up suddenly. And whoever, you name the person, bless. And when you actually bless, you actually bless. You want that person to do well. You want that person healthy. Not learn the lesson in the dying breath with a cancer or something like that. Healthy, healed. Their businesses do well. And they're prospering in the will of God. Their children doing well. That's a blessing, right? So it's, you really take it to the new level when you begin to bless a person. Because God gave us power to bless. So you try that, amen? We try that. I was thinking of getting a red book, actually. And that's only open to me, and then it's got a lock. And I'll, you know, write down all the names of people that I bless regularly. But you can't see their names. Lord, I just list all the names. Lord, I bless this person. And, you know, but you can't see them. It's only for me. I don't have the book, so don't look for it in my room or in the prayer house. Okay, so that's the next one. You know, you bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, when you created that person, you had a vision of that person like this or that. Right now, it doesn't quite match. Lord, I want that person to match your highest vision. That's my prayer. Amen. Yeah? So you don't have to feel like it, but when you do it, it's amazing. Our heart follows our will. It really does over time. Number five is a lifelong commitment to forgive. So you forgive yesterday, you know, somebody, you know, this is a couple. So wife was very, very upset. And then the man was, you know, asking forgiveness. Please, can you forgive me? Wife said, okay. And then she's doing things, you know, like kitchen, maybe, you know, here is your food, bang. Here's your coffee, bang. And he's kind of really confused. I thought you forgave me yesterday. And she said, that was yesterday. That was yesterday, not today. When you forgive, you keep forgiving. You keep forgiving. Here's your fork. Once you forgive today, you forgive tomorrow. Tomorrow. Instead of throwing the knife, well, here is the knife, you can eat the food. Because you forgive again. Joseph, remember the story of Joseph? Joseph and the brothers, you know. 17 years have passed since Joseph said, I forgive you. And then his father died. Their father, Jacob, died. And the brothers are afraid. Father died. All our protection is gone. Now he will take revenge. And they're making a story. Your father, before he died, he said in the last breath, please tell Joseph to forgive his brothers. So this is the last words. Would you? And Joseph was crying, why you even think that way? Why you even think that way? I'll provide for you. I forgive you. I bless you. I love you. What he said 70 years ago stood 70 years later. I forgave you then. I forgive you now. And you stay that way. We might have to come back to it, but you stay in the road of forgiveness, because this is the road, quickest and fastest road to godliness. It really is. You know, we are prayer. We are, you know, our church of prayer. You know, the word. We believe in discipline. We believe in seeking God. But without forgiveness in the right place, no amount of praying is gonna get us anywhere closer to God. It really isn't. You know, 7 days of fasting is not gonna get any closer to God if you don't deal with, if you refuse to forgive. Is that true? Is that true? Yes. Okay, how do I know I have truly forgiven? I'm gonna go through quickly because I spent a lot of time. All right, how do you know that the splinter is out from your finger? When I was young, I had a splinter. I go, I went to my father. Please take it out. And he did, you know, this and that. He used the pin. Go, don't. Leave it. Just leave it. I don't want it. But he's loving. And he said, trust me. I'll take it out. No. But he will do something. Go, it pricks a little bit. Go, It hurts. And then very soon, it hurt less than I thought, but it did hurt. And he said, it's all gone. So how do you know it's, you know, it still looks like still there, because when you have a deep thing, after you take it out, still there's a mark. It looks like still there. He presses it. Does it hurt? No, it doesn't. It's gone. How do you know that you have fully forgiven? Rub it. See if it hurts. Maybe somebody with a different face do something similar or say something similar. Are you spewing all over the place? Maybe it's still there. Because you're overreacting. If the pain's irritation is not there, you're good. It's forgiveness. It's all about knowing that you've truly let go and you are free. Your heart within, before God, you are set free and you are in light. You can tell straight away whether you're in a light or darkness, whether you have brightness inside or darkness oppressing you. All right, so number one, let's just go through quickly. Number one, you have no desire to punish them for what they have done. Remember what you've done to me, what you said to me. And you have no desire to drop hints to remind them what they did or said. You don't have to. That's a good indicator. If you need to remind them, there's still something in there that has to be worked out on the inside. Actually, I forgot to say this. A lot of times, you know, when people hurt you, they don't even know they hurt you. Is that true? They don't even know. It's not important, whatever they said. It's like maybe they didn't mean it, maybe they meant it, but it's just they don't even know or remember. And you are the one with the damage, but we still have to forgive. Deal with it, right? Yeah. And number two, you have no desire to expose them for what they've done. Just a little story of Joseph is wonderful. When Joseph was about to reveal himself before all the Egyptians and so on, the brothers are there. There's going to be the confrontation. Dum, da, dum, dum. All the Egyptians are just watching what's going to happen. They want to know the inside story. There's a lot of emotion, tense moments, all there. You can feel it, right, in the room. There's, you know, this brothers trembling and you know, prime minister is there, all masked, or he's just speaking through the interpreter. There's a lot of story that's going on that you can feel the tension, and everybody wants to know. Well, a woman's weekly, right? What's going on? What's the latest story with our prime minister? Like, what's the real story? Why are they here? And what does Joseph do? Have them all go out. Shut the door. It's not for the show. You don't have to. I don't have to show them I forgave and, you know, how wonderful our prime minister Joseph is. Learn to forgive. And you don't have to broadcast on TV and then show it, you know, seven times, you know, rerun it and let the whole world. No, he says. Let them all go out. What happened here remains here. And he forgives them there. So no one knows. There's no desire to expose the fact that these brothers have sold Joseph 13 years ago as a young boy, 17-year-old boy, sold. Well, it was more than, yeah, 30 years he became a prime minister. It was after 7 years. So it was many years, more than 20-something years. They sold him. He didn't have to tell the world and broadcast. Number three, you have no desire for them to be afraid of you. You don't have to, them squirming before you in guilt doesn't give you any pleasure. You really don't want them to squirm or feel guilty. You don't enjoy it. You don't need it. You don't want them to fear you. Because when you love, you want to be loved, not feared. You know, there's a difference. We often want to be feared more than loved because we don't want to get hurt. We want to be in power. But when you are in true relationship, loving and being loved is more important than being feared or be respected. True? So Joseph calls them all, come. He hugs them one by one. Because loving is more important than being feared or respected. Number five. Number four. You actually want them to totally forgive themselves. You don't want them to hold on to their hurt, their fear, their failure, their guilt, their shame. You actually want them free from all these negative emotions. You actually make it easy, if you can, if it is your place, for them to forgive themselves. You know when it said, oh, sorry, we've done this, I'm so sorry. And you know what? Joseph said, you know what? God sent me ahead of you. You didn't know this. You did all this, yeah, but God meant it good. God actually sent me ahead of you to preserve your life. It was God who sent me. You thought you sold me. God sent me. Makes it easier for them to forgive. Number five, you have no desire to hurt their reputation or future, but truly wish them well. I think I covered it already. See, because when you totally forgive, when we forgive, our heart militates against self-righteousness and pride. Because self-righteousness is a very subtle thing. I think it's one of the most susceptible things for Christians, to be self-righteous. Especially when you mean it, you know, you pray harder, you give more, you serve harder than others, and it's very, very subtle that we actually begin to buy into self-righteousness. I'm better than you, brother, and sisters. You ought to know. But when we get offended, deep, deep offense that's linked with this pride. When I see sometimes, not very often, not in this church, but outside of this fellowship, forgive me, Lord. When I hear somebody fuming about somebody's failure, this minister or that, really angry, how can and can't let go? I see self-righteousness is so easy. Because I don't do it. How can you do it? How can that pastor do it when I am not a pastor? I don't do it. And can't let go, just spews all the time. God called me to expose all the sins of the church. That's my calling, to expose all the pastors. I know God is dealing with a lot of things. God is dealing with I'm not going through all the process, but sometimes, see, self-righteous people are very, very unaware of their own weakness as a human being. You see, when you forgive, you become actually aware of how weak we are. Is that right? Whatever the sin that the other human being had, I have the capability, full capability intact to do the same. You become a bit more realistic about who I am. You know, you're not overly having a high estimation of your godliness. Something so below me. I am so above. And it's just something unrealistic about who we are is that when we deal with one another, we all cut from the same cloth, true? And I make a lot of mistakes, I sin, that I'm not aware of, and so on. So we become more real about all these things. Being a bit more objective about our weakness and also aware of how much we've been forgiven. This is very important. Galatians 6:1, it says, if somebody falls, you who are spiritual, restore that person with gentleness. So gentleness is very important. I think when I am emotionally very angry, it's not the right time for me to try to restore people. I think that's important because we can actually, let me take out that, the stuff, plank out of your debris here, out of your eye, and you go, okay, open your eyes. Oh, no. Trust me. I think we become aware of how weak we are. I think that's very important, how frail, how sinful we are at the same time. And it becomes more real about forgiving others. All right. I'm going to finish in 5 minutes. Oh, okay. I hope I can finish in 5 minutes. All right. Maybe 5-10 minutes. Do you have time? I want to come to that because I said all that because those things we can't do unless we forgive ourselves. And forgiving ourselves sometimes is a lot harder because they're far more deceptive and subtle. There's stuff that we are now aware of on the inside. Number one, I'm going to just quickly go through 6 points, and then we're going to pray. Person who hasn't forgiven himself and herself is an unhappy person. Really is. When you're generally unhappy, there's a dark cloud over you, over the times. Maybe we really don't understand the fact that you've been forgiven by God for everything, every single thing. Every single thing God's forgiven us, not partially, but completely. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So once you confess your sin, whatever it is, even if it is you've done it 70 times today, to yourself, I'm turning it around. Jesus said, if brother sins against you, you forgive 70 times. Should we also 70 times 7? So what is it? 490 times. Oh, that's a lot. Should we apply that rule also to ourselves? Huh? True? Should you forgive yourself 490 times? Yes. It's true. I'm hearing a shock here. I mean, it's like, should you forgive yourself 490 times? 70 times 7? Yes. We should. Because not forgiving ourselves doesn't make us any more righteous, any better. Once we've confessed our sins, we must take the promise of forgiveness with both hands. That's what God wants. All right? Okay. God is not angry with us. I'm going to really have to speed up. God is not angry with us. Can we say it together? God is not angry at us. God is not angry at you. When you fail, God wants you to be free from whatever the stumbling block. Number two, one of the reasons why it is difficult to forgive ourselves is due to our need to feel deserving before we can really forgive. I don't feel I deserve forgiveness, especially after 491th time. I don't feel like it. Who is more important? Is God's word more important or you, your feeling? God's word more important. Grace isn't grace if we have to be good enough to receive it. True? Blood of Jesus Christ did a wonderful job. God is not looking for further satisfaction. God is not saying, once you say, Lord, I failed, forgive me. Say, okay, God is saying, you are saying it with your mouth. Let me show me the evidence of your repentance first before I forgive you. God doesn't do that. The moment our heart turns to God, the moment we confess, it's all gone, 100%. This process of maturity is it's called sanctification. It's got nothing to do with forgiveness. It's done. Hallelujah. Amen. We can forgive ourselves to the degree that we really believe what Jesus has done. Do you believe that? And who God is? Is God that good? Is God that gracious? Yes. And does God want us to feel guilty to learn a lesson? Does God want us to learn a lesson by feeling really guilty about something? Does God want to teach us by using guilt? No. No. Another reason why it's hard to forgive ourselves is due to fear. You know what we are afraid of? We are afraid of abusing God's grace. Once I forgive myself, you know what? I think I'm going to do it again. I can't trust myself. I think I'm going to fail again. So we withhold giving forgiveness to myself and think punishing myself and not forgiving is something that is of value, something worth, something that pleases God. Totally wrong, totally wrong. In fact, that is an insult to the cross. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with it. He died so that we can be free from guilt. And we hold on to guilt. What are we doing? Saying, Jesus, your blood is not good enough. I have to be good enough. You'll never be good enough. Because only the blood of Christ can change us. Amen? Number four, sometimes refusal to forgive ourselves may be traced to our pride and self-righteousness, resulting in self-pity. It's true. It's pride. God, you did everything? No, Jesus, you did everything. No. I got to contribute something. I gotta do something, you know, so that we've done it. Like, you know, you can't take it. It's a devastation to our pride. Jesus did everything. We did nothing. Nothing. Zero. Fat zero. And he did everything to forgive us. And you know what? When people do this, when people get into, I'm not going to forgive myself, whether you know it or not, there's an attitude in all of us. Until I feel I'm good enough. That goes with self-pity. It always does. Self-pity. Sorry for myself. I'm not going to dwell on it. There's a note. You can, think about it. And they're both very bad. Number five. Okay. This is the last. We must decide to keep no record of wrongs for ourselves. Amen. Yeah? You tear up. This is what I've done wrong. This is how many times I failed. You tear it up afresh. It's all gone. You don't keep record of the wrongs against myself, against yourself, moving into next year. It's all clean. Fresh start. Amen. Destroy every record of wrong and failure. Put it on the blood of Jesus Christ. And the last one, all bitterness may be traceable to our anger towards God. Oh, no, no. Christians angry at God? No way. But inside, we can be saying, God, when I was hurting, where were you? Why did you let that happen? You are powerful. Why did you let that happen? And we hold on to, not that God is guilty of any of the wrong, but in our heart, in our emotion, we still hold God accountable, but we can't be honest about it. And it's a poison. God is not the author of any evil in our lives, true? But because we feel, and God is powerful, and that we are hurt that God allows certain evil to happen in our lives and touch our lives, his children, we still have to, if I can say, forgive God and release him and trust him and love him. We have to release him from all fault so we can move on with God. We can have trust relationship. The love language is real. Amen? Amen? All right. I got a little longer, but, you know, I got notes, and I'm going to put it on the web if you want to look at it a bit closer. But I just advise you, maybe, stuff to forgive myself. Let's deal with it. And, hey, attack 2018 with vigor. Amen? Attack New Year with fresh promise. Why don't we all stand? We're going to sing Jesus Paid It All.
Paid it all to him. Jesus, it washes my soul.
Oh, the love of Jesus. daily, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us without any precondition whatsoever. Knowing, Lord, that we'll fail you again and again, you forgave us. And you not only forgave us, you know. You planned and purposed where we will be with you. You see us gloriously transformed in the image of your Son, our Father, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you are our vision as you've freely forgiven us our sins. We receive your forgiveness and your freedom. And Lord, we release all bitterness, all failure, all disappointments into your hands. And we ask, Lord God, that your blessing, your love, fill this world, Lord God, unto salvation, to the glory of your love and your forgiveness. But I pray that you strengthen and speak and wash every person's feet and heart today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will empower us with bright light and glory to face and to take 2018 with power and love. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody shout it.
Amen.
God bless you. Bless you, and wishing you a happy new year.